Hello and welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner powered by Com1. I'm your host, Matt Shear. This week we will talk with several Humboldt Wildcats coaches, including head girls track and field coach Spencer Ross, head boys track and field coach Greg Wickett, head boys golf coach Scott Birdsell, head baseball coach Jason Thurm, and head softball coach Sheridan Zika. The Humboldt girls track and field team had three events with automatic qualifiers with Aubrey and Avery Fisher in the 3,000-meter run, Bryn Malo in the 800-meter run, and Aubrey Fisher in the 1,500-meter run. I caught up with Ross Thursday after the state qualifying meet in Clear Lake on the team's performance, placing third.
Overall, we ran a really good meet, counting up, have 10 PRs or season's best times, whether it's individuals or relays. So I know some of the girls are bummed. They had high hopes of getting down to Des Moines, but overall, we've got to be satisfied with peaking at the end of the season. And now we live with the results, and some of us get to make the trip down to Des Moines and give it one last go.
The twins, they're able to qualify 1-2. Just thoughts on their race?
Well, that's just awesome to see them on the track together. I'm kind of bummed out I never had the opportunity to compete with my siblings because it just has to be so cool, and you can tell that they really enjoy it. And so we're proud of them and how they kind of push each other. And, you know, I know they're competitive with each other, but that's what siblings should do. And that's only going to bring out the best in both of them. So excited that they get to run together one more time this season.
Bryn Malo qualifies in the 800 meter, has a chance to redeem herself after a tough round last time at the Blue Oval. Just thoughts on her race.
That's the first thing that came to mind is, okay, good. She gets another shot at this because last year didn't go how any of us planned. And so for her to come back after that distance med, just barely missing the cut, you know, they were all bummed out, but proud of how she kind of refocused and took the challenge and secured second place there and gets a chance.
And then Aubrey gets a runner-up finish in the 1500. What'd you see out of her?
Another tough night. You know, she's been battling some shin issues and fought through that. And we kind of gave her some days off and she followed the recovery plan, and I think that kind of paid off in the end, and she was able to finish that race strong and really pull ahead to secure that second place finish.
How would you summarize the year now, as this was the last full team event?
Overall, it was great. We always hope you set your sights at qualifying as many things down at state as you can, but you can't just go by that all the time. We had a lot of successes along the way, and this is certainly a group of seniors that we're really going to miss, just their leadership and the fun that they have and the fun they bring and the energy they bring every day to practice. So that's what will stick with me, is just the group of kids that we have, and excited to see what those seniors can go do, you know, in the next stage of their life.
Lastly, Coach, coming up the state meet next week, what does preparation look like for the qualifiers?
We'll take it easy for sure. Give the girls a little something to do this weekend, and then, you know, maybe get one or two good workouts in early next week before we load the vans up and head down to Des Moines and give it our best shot. So we've been saying that the hay is in the barn for the most part. From now until the end of the season, there's not much more we can do other than get healthy and stay healthy and just be ready to perform next week.
Appreciate it, Coach. Thanks for the time and wish you best of luck next week.
Thank you very much.
Additional state qualifiers with at-large bids announced on Friday for the girls were the 4x800-meter relay team. The Humboldt boys track and field team had two events with automatic qualifiers with the shuttle hurdle relay team and Jack Guy in the shot put. I caught up with Wickett Thursday after the state qualifying meet in Clear Lake on the team's performance, placing sixth.
At this time of the year, you always want to be peaking at the right time, and that's what we saw tonight. A bunch of guys having their PRs, a lot of our relays riding their best of the year, and that's what you're really going for at this time of year.
Coach, the shuttle hurdle team qualifies. Just thoughts on their performance.
Yeah, that one scares the heck out of you every time. I mean, there's a lot of ways that race can go bad, and those guys, all we focused on was trying to run a clean race, and we did get that, definitely running our best time of the year, and that was awesome. They deserve to go down, and we're going to see what they can do at the next level.
Jack Guy qualifies here, throwing a PR by almost 2 feet.
And practice. He's really been cranking some, so we were hoping he could get one out there. He threw a couple out of bounds right away, so it made it kind of dramatic, but he got the one out there we wanted and got in, so that's a really good throw, too. That's knocking on the door of the school record, too.
And then, Coach, this being the last team event for the year before you have the individual state meet, just thoughts on the year's performances.
I mean, it was a good year. We lost a lot of guys last year, and these guys really stepped up and replaced them, and we had a good year. We got the most out of them, I think. That's what it comes down to. You know, you want to get the most out of the kids you have, and even with those young guys running that 4x4 and stuff like that, they really pushed themselves and got the most out of the races they had, and that's all you can ask for.
And then lastly, Coach, preparation-wise, wise coming up the next week? What's it look like?
Kind of a recovery day. We don't want to do anything different next week. We got to come out and run some. We can't just take totally off. You know, we got to get back into our running form and shape, and so we can be hitting it again next week. We want to maintain at this point. We want to give the same type of effort we gave tonight down at Drake. So it's the payoff, really. The payoff is getting to go down there and spend the week, you know, seeing good track and running in a place that's nowhere else like that in America. So they really get the payoff this next week.
Well, Coach, appreciate you taking the time. I wish you best of luck.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Additional state qualifiers with at-large bids announced on Friday for the boys were the sprint medley, the distance medley, and Jackson Flaherty in the 200-meter dash. The Humboldt boys golf team, with a second-place finish in their Class 3A sectional meet at Briggs Woods Golf Course in Webster City on Wednesday, advanced to the district meet this upcoming Monday at Atlantic Golf and Country Club. I caught up with Birdsall to discuss the team's performance on Wednesday.
Had some good teams there. Des Moines Christian's got a really good team. We were 5 strokes from them. But overall, we played pretty well. It's not an easy course. You got to know where to hit it, especially there's 4 holes on the back nine that can really, you can make some high scores on. But I thought the guys, for the most part, they played well. It's just survive in advance now.
And Coach, one of your golfers, Andrew Nedved, ends up registering a 79 and jumps in to be that third best score for the Wildcats. What'd you see out of Nedved's performance?
He'd been playing well. I think he shot like 74 up at Spring Valley on that week. And then his last round at Humboldt, he had a triple bogey and shot 37. So he's been playing well. And to see him do that in meet, he was really excited. All the guys, they worked so hard this year. That's their number one goal, is to get to the state tournament. But that's what you need. You need somebody to step up. Dawson was solid. He shot even par. Cade had a little bit of an off day. Didn't play the way he had been playing. But you got to have somebody else step up. And Andrew did that, and you know, that helped us out a lot.
So, Coach, now you get ready for that district meet coming up on Monday to try to get back to the state tournament. What's the message to the team going into this tournament here, with the team playing some really good golf?
We've talked about it every meet this year. Everybody's score is really important, even those guys that don't count, because you never know when there's a tie, because when they have ties, they go to the fifth score, then they go to the sixth score. So you still have to play as good as you can, because you never know if there's a tie. But we talk about it, holes 1, 2, and 3 are just as important as holes 16, 17, and 18. We got to get off to a good start, and we've got to finish. We've had meets before where we've gotten off to a good start, and we just kind of collapsed. That comes to mind, the conference tournament, our back nine, we just kind of fell apart, and that happens. But you can't do that now in the tournaments. We've got Atlantic on their home course. There's Knoxville, and there's Des Moines Christian. And if you look at the rankings on Bound, number 8, number 9, number 10, number 11, those are those four teams. They're all bunched together, and their average is about a stroke different, those four teams. So two of the teams, I would say, are probably not contending for a state tournament berth. They're probably looking to get an individual through if they can. It's those four teams. It's Atlantic, Knoxville, Des Moines Christian, and us. It's going to be four teams competing for 3 spots. So one team's going to get left out, and you know, we're gonna do our darndest to try to get in those top three and to get the state tournament. Every stroke's going to count. We talk about that. We talk, if you make a bad shot, the most important shot is the next shot. So it's golf's all mental. It's mental.
And then, Coach, what does preparation look like as you've had a little bit of time since Wednesday's meet?
Thursday, it was so windy. We just kind of took it easy and did some short game stuff. We worked on our chipping and our putting. But that doesn't mean that the guys came out and they were out the golf course till dark. The wind had gone down quite a bit, and they went out and played, and they were out there till dark. Friday, go hit some practice balls. Saturday, they're kind of on their own. I'm sure they'll play and practice on Saturday. And then we plan on leaving Sunday sometime in the late morning and going down to Atlantic and playing a practice round, staying overnight down there in Atlantic, then playing on Monday.
Well, Coach, we appreciate the time and want to wish you and the team best of luck for the district tournament coming up on Monday.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate your coverage. This group really deserves, they've worked really, really hard, so let's hope that their hard work pays off on Monday.
The Humboldt baseball team is set to open the 2026 season with a North Central Conference doubleheader this Monday in Fort Dodge against St. Edmund, a year removed from being an out away from advancing to the state tournament. I caught up with Thurm to discuss the 2025 season and his upcoming 27th season leading Humboldt baseball.
Great group of guys, just all the way around. We had a great group of seniors, tremendous leadership there, and just those guys had a lot of success over their career. So just having them, you know, with that leadership aspect was huge for us. But we just had a good group all the way around. I felt like every facet of the game, whether it was the pitching, whether it was the defense, the offense, we could do a little bit of everything with it. And just a fun group, and definitely went out and maximized potential with that. We put ourselves in position to get a berth to the state tournament. Unfortunately, didn't go our way with it, but proud of the group, proud of the effort, and a lot of those guys will be sorely missed, but on the bright side, we do have a lot of those guys coming back as well.
What is the message to the group this year as practice has begun?
We're kind of in a holding pattern. There's a lot that has to happen yet before we truly have our team together, and this is just a reoccurring theme every spring with it, but we've got a lot of guys involved in other activities, and on any given night, we could have our whole group there. I think maybe, well, actually, we haven't had the whole entire group together yet. So, you know, we take them when we can get them. But the big thing is we want to go out and we want to be competitive with it. And early in the season, it could be pretty interesting with things. But I feel once we get settled into the season and we get all of our guys there, I feel like we have the potential to be a pretty good team with it. But it's just the main message is that you just want to get better every single night. You bring your best effort to practice and you be present there, and you do everything you can do. And we try to get a little bit better each day with it. And if we take on that mentality and if we can get healthy and stay healthy, we should have a pretty good team.
As far as returners come, who will you be looking towards leading this team on the field this year?
You lean on your seniors with that. And we got a group that's been there and had a lot of success. I think you start with, Valley Davis. He's been a key performer for us, played a lot of center field for us last year, hit towards the top of our lineup, and just a really dynamic player, really came on last year at the end as a pitcher, and he's somebody that we're going to lean on. I look at both of the Flaherty twins, Chase and Jackson. Both those guys are tremendous athletes, and they can do a number of different things on the baseball field. They provide some flexibility as far as defensive positioning goes, but I love the speed and quickness and dynamic athleticism that they bring that can be game changers for us. So we'll try to utilize their speed and try to solidify where they're at on the defensive side of the ball with it, but those guys are going to be there for us, and we've got a strong junior class that has a lot of baseball experience as well, so we'll be relying on them, and it could be a different guy on a different night, and that's a good luxury to have.
Pitching-wise, what are you seeing as far as the staff this year for your team?
I would say Valley and Chase Hansen would be our top two if we're looking to rank guys out with that. Unfortunately, Chase is dealing with an arm injury and could be a while before we have him back, so got to look at Valley as if we wanted to call somebody an ace. Valley would be that guy that we'll probably throw out there on opening night. Talked about Chase and Jackson Flaherty. Both those guys are going to throw innings for us this year. I thought Jackson really came on towards the end of last year and threw the ball well for us. And hopefully he'll be able to do that again this year. Asher Gonder threw some innings for us last year. He'll be a junior this year, so another year of experience under his belt. Griffin Grote really has really good stuff, and if we can get him to harness that a little bit, we saw some flashes of that last year where he just dominated other teams, and just looking to develop some consistency there. Jackson Kirkhoff is another kid that could see some innings. Dane Clark is a kid that has looked really good in the spring, and Dane's another kid, just tremendous stuff. And if we can develop the consistency there, he could be a really high-end starter for us, and we're excited with what he's shown. Grant Goodell, sophomore, just another kid. He has real nice arm and still learning how to pitch, but he had a nice year for us last year on the lower levels, but he could see some time as well. And it's just, I look at that first week that we have, and we got six games coming out of the chute and expecting us to be maybe a little bit depleted, at least later in the week, because of guys qualifying for a state, just the golf postseason and soccer. We're really going to be tested with the depth that we do have.
Where do you see this team offensively being here this year?
In the limited reps that we've had this season, I like the way that we're swinging it. I think we've got guys that I feel are going to be aggressive. I think you'll see a nice little blend. I think I have some guys that can hit the ball pretty hard, and hopefully that'll show up in in-game power with that. But just being consistent, consistently putting together good at-bats and putting pressure on the defense. I love the speed that we have. We got guys that are fast, but not only fast, but have that aggressive mentality where they're looking for that extra base. And if we can get nine guys with that type of approach with it, we're really going to put a lot of pressure on teams. And I feel like we got a number of different ways that we can beat teams offensively. And we're going to have to figure out what different lineup combinations and how we can maximize all that. But I feel like we have a lot of potential offensively as well.
And then lastly, Coach, open up the season on Monday with a doubleheader against St. Edmund. Just thoughts on the season opening doubleheader?
We've been grinding the last couple of weeks with things, and things are going extremely fast, and here it is, and we got to be ready to go with it. And a lot of question marks, but it's also just an opportunity for us to go out and figure some of these things out and get some quality reps early on. And hopefully we're going to be ready to go and ready to play and bring it. And it might not be the prettiest thing in the world, but what I do know is we're going to have guys that are going to go out there, compete, and do that at a high level. And if we go out there and do that, we should, I think, give ourselves a pretty good chance to win.
Well, Coach, appreciate you taking the time, and we wish you best of luck for the season opening series against St. Edmund and the rest of the season.
Thank you, Matt.
The Humboldt softball team is led by first season head coach Sheridan Zika and opens their season on May 27th at home against Southeast Valley. I caught up with Zika to discuss her tenure before Humboldt and her upcoming first year at the helm.
I've been coaching softball for about 7 years. My previous coaching position was at Southeast Valley. I was the head coach down there. And what attracted me to Humboldt is just the tradition and the rich culture that the community provides. I think it's incredible how much buy-in there is to the teams, the sports, just the school pride that Humboldt offers and the tradition that every single program carries was something that I was really happy to be a part of. And as soon as the opportunity became available, I wanted to jump at it.
And Coach, how has that transition been to taking over the program here?
I think it's been really awesome. I was very nervous to start, but the girls have been incredible. My assistants, Natalie Schultz and Ashlyn McKenna, have been just second to none. I've been able to do a lot with pitchers and catchers while trusting them to take the defense and work on different foundational skills and things like that with the girls. And it's just been really seamless. It's different, of course, because it's a change, but it hasn't been something that I've reflected on and regretted at all. I've really enjoyed being in a new environment and being surrounded by such support and opportunity.
And Coach, with you taking over this year, how will Humboldt softball look under a Zika-led program?
I think we're going to look a little bit different. I think every coach has their own philosophy and ways to attack the game. We're going to try to be a bit more aggressive on the base paths. We're going to try to do some things that maybe they don't traditionally do in the past and try some things. We're not going to be afraid to make mistakes, and we're going to go attack games and opponents and go get after it right away.
For this season, Coach, what is the message to the team in 2026?
I think our message is to set the standard and live up to tradition, knowing that the standard is high, but you have to earn the respect. You have to work for that tradition, and you can't just wear Humboldt across your chest and automatically be good. You have to put in the time and the effort and the energy that it takes to live up to that standard. And so that's kind of been our message all along. Like, we have a reputation, and let's uphold it. Let's go out there and bring it back and keep it rolling.
And then, Coach, as far as the team on the field this year, let's first go with returners. Who will you be looking to lead this team from your returning group?
I think looking at our seniors as returning leaders for sure, Claire Dielman, Abby Armitage, Elise Olson, all of them, Gracie Lyon, they're stepping up in great ways. They're showing a lot of our younger kids. We're very young, but they're showing them the ropes and getting them acclimated to high intense competitive softball, and they're doing really well. Adelie Nolting has, and Hayden Graff, both, they've been putting in a lot of work this winter with pitching. Elin Olson and Jazzy Dodd have been helping them out catching, and we've had a lot of great younger kids, eighth graders and freshmen, that have showed up for off-season hitting. And honestly, I think it's just returners and newcomers alike have just put in a lot of work.
And Coach, early on through practice, have any of the newcomers to this program kind of caught your eye or might be making a splash for the team this year?
It's kind of hard to tell right now with a lot of them playing soccer and being so successful with that, but I think some of the newcomers that have really stood shout out our Kaylee Vincent. I know she played a little bit last year, but she does really great in the outfield. Her and Callie Olson have been competitive for some of those spots that are opened up there. And then all of the eighth graders have really stepped up and shocked me with their ability and their level to just compete and be dogs out there on the dirt. And they push each other. They all look really, really good.
And Coach, May 27th, you open up the season against your former program, Southeast Valley. First, I guess, you have any emotions going into that one as far as taking on a program that you had led previously? And then what will be the message to the team going into that first game?
I think the message that I'm just sending is that, and I've told them, I want to be at Humboldt. I've made the choice and I'm excited to be a part of it. There's obviously going to be some emotions going up against the girls that I've spent the last 7 years working with and alongside. I want the best for them, but I want to win as well. So I have mixed emotions definitely about that game, but the eye is on the prize and we're hoping to get a dub.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you taking the time and we wish you best of luck going into the first game on May 27th.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're excited. Hopefully we can have a full field out there watching us.
With that, we will conclude this week's edition of Coach's Corner, powered by Com One. I'm your host, Matt Shear. Tune in next week for another edition of Coach's Corner.